Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back live on Monday night. I don't know what date it is because I'm sober right now, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, the man who always had the power to make a war and to make things happening. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have a man who's trying to stop me, who is jealous of me, but still envies me at the same time.
Congress's best friend, Sean Black, back in the building once again. Good grief.
What?
one of these days, you're gonna piss somebody off. What a concept.
Sean, for the last 30, 40 years that you know me, I am not known to get on people's nerves and piss people off. That is not me at all.
Yeah.
Well,
and if you believe that, there's lightning coming right up about... Oops. Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Not on me. On you.
We're closing in on that 200th episode, my friend.
I don't care about that. Only you care. But well, also, I have the one... The talented, the lovely Lady T in the house. This
sorry. Yeah, I thought I snored. Sorry. Nah, what's up, y'all?
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm trying to stay up. Damn.
Well, you know something? We got so much to talk about. I'm pretty sure we'll keep her up with all of that stuff that we got on.
But it's funny. She says she's trying to stay up. If I say I try to stay up, you guys will be thinking differently. You know what I mean?
Oh,
hello.
Okay, Hot Rod. It's a woman's world. You're just living in it, okay?
No. I refuse to acknowledge that. I refuse to give that in. This is not the hashtag Me Too movement. No. This is always be a man's world.
Me Too. How is it a man's world? How is it a man's world when you came out of a woman? We'll think about that.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but Hot Rod is starting to sound more and more like our president.
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay. Before we get started.
I didn't know Trump had a son named Hot Rod. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
If you stop grabbing women by the private parts, maybe you'll find them now something. So.
Listen, I wish Trump was my father. I'd be rich by now, okay? Please. But before we continue, the number to call to, I don't know what now, is 347-989-8402. And we are already pissing people off. But let's talk about my father, my grandfather, my homeboy, Trump.
Oh, Lord.
Right now, we're in the middle of the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. Is it a shocker? No. But last time with the B Show, he was talking about Trump and the wall. So let me start with Sean first, because I'm sure Sean have a lot to say. But in your talk about this wall and the government shutdown, at some point, do you think the Democrats should give in and pay for this money and pay for the damn wall already?
No. And the reason why is because, as has been explained by some Republicans and a whole lot of Democrats, this entire shutdown, temper tantrum, whatever it is, it's all BS. We know this because the Democrats and the Republicans actually came up with a bipartisan bill twice to try to get the government running and saying, look, we will be able to fund the government until February. And what happens is, after we do that, we'll leave the government shutdown part out of it and continue to talk, fund the government to make sure that there's no shutdown, and continue what we continue the talk and the conversation about border security. We don't need a border wall, and that's the big sticking point. And our president continues to talk about this wall as if it's going to, and we know he loses steam on this wall because he keeps changing it from a wall to slats to a barrier. He doesn't even know what to call it anymore. And this is part of the problem with this whole thing. Meanwhile, he's holding 800,000 people's livelihoods and jobs hostage because of his ego, because of what he wants, and he's trying to use this as the bargaining chip. It's pretty much his last bargaining chip because now he doesn't have full control. The Senate is now being run by the Democrats. Congress is run by the Republicans now. And instead of actually trying to get something going while he had control of both the House and the Senate, that's not being the case here. So that's
where
we are right now.
We cannot have illegal immigrants come to our country. That's the whole point of the wall. And like you said right now, Sean, over 800 people are being unemployed and losing their livelihood. Their mortgage is not being paid. Food on the table. The TSA workers are working without pay right now to make this country safe. At some point, something has to give in.
But you also have to remember, he's using this, like I said before, he's using this as a bargaining chip. And he's also using a lot of rhetoric and lies to try to make his point. As evidenced by the fact that he's come up with these figures about how much the wall is going to cost and is going to change. We're not going to use steel, we're going to use concrete, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, they showed what was actually being made as a test to what these concrete walls would be like, as far as supposed to be stronger than steel. And during the test, they broke them. So I tell you right now, the idea behind what Trump is saying as far as what this wall is supposed to accomplish and the whole premise behind it, the only reason why this is here, this is the last bastion of what he's trying to do to make sure that his presidency is in a complete and absolute failure, which it seems in a lot of instances it is to a majority of people. And if you look at the polls that have been going on through a lot of different news agencies and independent places, when they're looking at who's to blame for this, in I believe at least 3 or 4 separate polls, over 55% of the people that are looking at this are placing the blame for the shutdown squarely on the president and no one else.
That's fake news.
Well, of course.
No, that's fake news.
Oh, of course, especially if you're, president. Everything is fake news if it doesn't go your way. But that's exactly what's been going on. And you're starting to actually see now more and more of a little bit of an uptick in the Republicans that are actually looking at this shutdown as the president's fault. And you didn't hear a lot of that stuff before. And a lot of that's happening now mostly because of the fact that these people that have their jobs that are furloughed, that are going to get furloughed, those that are not going to be able to make ends meet. There are people that I remember looking at it on our local news here in the tri-state area. There's a family that actually said that they had to change how they keep their heat on. They're eating a lot of bologna sandwiches now. They're drinking a lot more water because they don't know exactly where the next paycheck is coming from. And you're going to hold all of these people's paychecks hostage over a notion that you're not going to get what you want. And then to have other politicians, I believe it was the attorney general, the acting attorney general, basically saying that the people that are not going to get their paychecks should just look at it as an unpaid vacation. And it only comes from people that are out of touch with the fact that they're getting their paychecks, that they can open their mouth and say something so blasphemously unkind and short-sighted in the long run.
Okay, Tisha, do you think this government shutdown should come to an end by the Democrats saying, "Oh, you know what, Trump, here's your money and build this stupid wall already"?
No, it shouldn't, for a number of reasons. This country would be a dictatorship if that, God forbid, happens. But a simple fact, number one, before Trump decided to say, hey, I'm going to shut down the government because I can't get the Mexican president to build this wall like I promised you in the elections, He should have thought about his country first and the hurt that it would cause his country. And I'm getting a little drained with, I mean, I sympathize with it right now because a lot of things in our country soon is pretty much going to be cut off because of this shutdown. But Trump should have thought about this before he did that. He has this red hat that he wears that says, what is it again? Make America great, right? How do you make America great? If you're putting your American workers, don't forget some of them, no, a majority of them, I'm sure, are veterans who serve for the country, where Trump knows nothing about serving for his country, let's not forget. But they serve for their country, and you're putting them out of work. Before you put that red hat on, you should have thought about that. You should have thought about the destruction, waited, should I do this, should I do that? But he's not presidential. You understand what I'm saying? This is about his ego. So for all those people who think that, sure, this is going to be okay, building that wall, like I said on Brother B's show, it's just for protection. Just like your locks on your doors are for protection, for that mental protection, someone can still get in. We can still have people get in certain ways.
Yeah, the
ironic one more thing, Hot Rod, when you say, oh, we are letting illegal immigrants in the country. Listen, everybody's damn roots in this damn country has an illegal immigrant that came to this country. This country was the Europeans. I mean, the Indians, my bad. And the Europeans took it over. Let's be realistic. Come on now.
Of course. But I like that concept of the mental potential that you said because I do admit it was all about his ego. He's trying to clear it all. We'll get to you in a minute. It's all about keeping his campaign promise. The campaign promise that basically got him the seat in the White House of this war because people was for this war, especially when they believe that he says people mean Mexico pay for it. Now, to the idiots that believe that statement, shame on you. You think in a crazy world, in a crazy mind, Mexico will pay for war to keep themselves inside? Or did I build a wall to keep us outside overall? But let's be honest, there's a lot of, like I said, 800 people are suffering right now.
800,000.
Going through a mental, most of them probably going through a mental breakdown right now.
Just a quick question before this, didn't we have security going on over there, or did we never have security?
Because
I remember
having
security.
That's my
point.
So,
like, what's
the
you get my point that I'm making?
Mm-hmm.
Come up with
a
different strategy in the meantime where it's not going to hurt your country.
And you
want to
know the other great irony of this whole thing is that the irony of this is that part of this shutdown, he's not going to pay the people that are supposed to be down there working to guard the border in the first place. Because
oh my gosh,
border
we're
going to
be
security
short
guards,
staffed now.
The border, the border patrol that is there that's supposed to enforce the security for the border, they're part of the shutdown. They're not getting their paychecks. So it's like a complete irony here that you're trying to make America safe, and you want people to do all of these things to get your wall. Yet the people that are there now that are supposed to be taking care and securing the border currently are doing it now for free. I just don't get to think.
Which is a little tactic so he can keep pushing it and pushing it because it's like, okay, now they're short-staffed or whatever, so it's even more scary. It's a whole tactic.
And sure. Even worse, my last point on this is Trump has basically gone on and said, well, many, many people, including the ones that are not going to get paid, have said that they're doing the right thing for border security. Right. They're saying the right thing, and they're not getting paid. So when their mortgages payment is up, or they need to pay their rent, or they need to eat, or they have a payment to make on somebody's college tuition, let them know that the money that they're not getting and they probably won't see for a very long time, they're going to end up going into even more debt, et cetera, and they are behind the president for this. So they're sacrificing for you, for your decision. Makes no sense to me.
Well, they voted for this guy, so this is, like we said a long time ago, this is what you get. You chose this guy. Go with it. But K-Dog, I'm sure you love Trump, so what do you need to say about Trump this time?
Well, Trump is leading this country towards a major disaster.
Leading?
I mean, he's leading.
You know what?
He's not leading. No, no. Let me just say this. Why did I say leading? I must be real tired. But anyway, on a serious note, what he's doing is disastrous for this country. And, you know, a lot of people are very upset. 800,000 people are not receiving their paychecks. That means a lot of people are not going to be able to pay their bills, their rent, mortgages. They have kids in schools that they have to pay for, and meanwhile, they're not receiving not a dollar. From what I've seen in the news is that in the state of Florida, some of the people are not even some of the workers that work, the TSA workers that work inside the airports, are not even showing up to work on purpose because they're like, what's the sense of me coming into work if I'm not getting paid for it?
But at the same time, when you say that Trump is leading this country to a disaster, there's many people out there that believe he is a strong leader. And
no, you have some people, but now, but you know what's sad about it is that those people don't understand. They're just looking at the campaign promises that he made about building this wall. A wall that makes no sense of building, because already if you have Border Patrol already, what's the sense of you building a wall and then asking Mexico to pay for it? Mexico's not going to pay for it. Why should they?
And if you remember when the first time that the president went down and had that meeting with the Mexican president, not only did Mexico already tell him what he could do with his proposal,
mm-hmm.
Trump didn't even bring it up during the entire press conference.
Nope, he never did.
So
exactly.
Not only did he not have enough gall to even bring it to the Mexican president, he all of a sudden, if you remember, like 2 days ago, basically said, oh, well, I didn't mean that Mexico was going to cut a check. What I meant was that with the deal that we had on the table between Mexico and ourselves, that the money that we were going to get through this deal, they would have enough money to fund the wall. So now, not only has he completely conveniently forgot what he talked about and then conveniently lied about it, but now he has to change the lie to try to justify the other lie he told. So this is just a spiraling out of control with this particular president.
And let me add something else too. You know who else is suffering from this shutdown? The farmers.
Everybody is going to feel it eventually. Everybody, if they don't get it under control,
this is only the beginning. Because this is the longest shutdown in history, and it's a mess. People are really upset.
People that apply for welfare, government health, they're suffering too because there's nobody in the office to work for it.
Yes.
Exactly.
But a quick story to answer you guys' point. Saturday night, I was at the bar, go figure, with Ryan, my son, go
mm-hmm.
figure, and others. And I talked to a few Trump supporters, and one of them was a hardcore Trump supporter. There's a few at the bar that he is screwing up right now. They do admit that. And mm-hmm. one of the guys brought up a point to me, and I'm thinking about Tisha right away. But what about your son, Hot Rod? I'm like, what about him? We need to protect our children, right? I mean, of course, that's my job as a father. You have uncles, everybody. It's our job to protect our children. So that's why we need a border. But they're coming to, you know, the typical idea they're planning to Trump supporters head. You know, they're coming, taking our job, killing us, taking our health care. We work hard, and they want everything for free. And I'm like, yes, that's true to a certain degree, but not everybody comes to this country looking for free stuff. They're looking for a better life or better ways.
A lot of people are even harder workers when they come into
this country. Exactly. They come
to
this country just to work. I mean, name one average American that's going to work for $5 an hour. Think about it. So how many places do jobs are there? That's how ridiculous this is.
And they're threatening white America. I'm sorry to say it like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But... So basically, what's the solution now? I think that's my major question. What's the solution now to this government shutdown? If we know Donald Trump is not going to give in, and the Democrats not giving in, and we, the American people, are suffering, what's the solution to this problem right now?
You know something that,
oh, go ahead,
real
Lisa.
Quick, Hot Rod, that I just want to say real quick before I forget on what you just said. I remember when it was like the Great Depression, like the Vietnam Wars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had to put your certain parts of your country up for risk to win this or whatever the case may be. So I think right now it's going to have to be people pulling together to not give Trump this wall, to have him come up with a solution, like I said, where he is not going to be hurting his country. It's going to have to be some sacrifice. People think that you could go to war and stuff like that and you're not sacrificing. That's what I look at it right now. So right now, okay, this miniature shutdown, get this crap cut off within a week or less. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what he should be doing right now while he's seeing the great hurt before it gets even bigger. But
yes, it is. It's going to get even worse.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just afraid with this cut, with this shutdown, and everybody talking about money, you know how society is. I'm afraid riots breaking out. I mean, Great Depression become a great riot. People going crazy, losing their mind. They start robbing one another, stealing.
So would you prefer to give up and give him his wall and have this country be under a dictatorship? Tell me which one may become worse. But okay.
Exactly.
But democracy is under
attack here under the Trump administration. I mean, it's like Lady T said, it's gonna be a dictatorship.
As I stated last week, I said this before, and I still believe this now. This entire shutdown, this whole wall garbage that's been going on, outside of the racial undertones that it serves, the only reason why this is being done is to deflect away from this Russia probe, which has been getting closer and closer and closer to President Trump's inner circle.
No probe at all. He's promising his campaign. There's no Russia probe at all.
That getting the country right now? The country's in chaos. The stock market keeps going up and down. People are losing jobs. All of these things that are happening that are supposed to, quote-unquote, help people, the only campaign thing that he has done that has, quote-unquote, helped anybody, so to speak, has been what he has done with these tax cuts. And even the tax cuts have gotten negativity to it because it's added at least $10 trillion of debt. So somebody's got to pay for that. And up front, you're going to see some money, but in the long run, you're going to end up losing money on the back end of it. Meanwhile, the people that are trying to get these tax cuts won't even be able to apply for their taxes because of the shutdown. So how has he been helping the country or helping anyone else other than himself, his cronies, and his party? This is the reason why this whole thing is a complete contradiction. He's helping no one with this whole thing.
So let's just build a wall and get this country back to normal, which is normal. I don't know what to tell you about that.
When last did you see a Trump campaign? You know how he always does those rallies when things are going bad?
Yeah.
Why he's not doing a rally right now?
He's not doing it.
Oh, okay.
No. I'll be happy to tell you, he's busy right now negotiating with the Democrats to get his wall.
Yes,
so
he's waiting,
doing
he's waiting in Washington,
no,
waiting
is.
For the Democrats to negotiate with them. That's what he's doing.
Give me a break.
Okay.
Please.
All right, let's go to the next, from one rich guy to another rich guy. John Black and I, we was cracking up jokes like crazy last week about Amazon. And oh, yes, Tisha, I will tag you with that question later on, so be ready. You know what question I'm talking about.
I am
about.
Ready for it.
Okay. Sean, quickly, I know you love these type of stories. What happened with Amazon, Jeff Bezos?
Jeff Bezos, the richest, quote, probably the richest man in the damn world at this point, but at least in America right now, sitting on a fortune of over $157 billion, is getting a divorce from his wife based after 25 years of marriage and 4 children. Apparently, the romance is gone, whatever the case. They're getting a divorce. They put a pretty face forward to both of them. Everything has been going a certain way. They've grown apart. And the divorce, since they both live in Seattle, it's a community, I believe it's called a community state, which means if you get married and you build money together, if you're married a certain amount of time, the spouse deserves half of your earnings depending. Now, you do the math. That's over $75 billion a piece. And looking at that whole entire thing, what's interesting about this is they said they still want to remain friends. They're good for each other as far as the children are concerned, because I believe the children are either grown or all of them are close to grown.
Oh, please.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the funny thing about this whole deal. It came out literally 2 days after the divorce was announced that one of the main reasons why they are getting a divorce is because Jeff Bezos was having an affair with his best friend's wife, who happens to be a former broadcaster by the name of, Lauren Sanchez?
Lauren, yeah.
And she used to work on, I believe, Extra or
Extra.
Inside Edition. Extra. She used to be a co-host on Extra. So this whole thing has been going on for about 8 months or so, and was apparently was found out through the wife. Wife found out, she filed for the divorce, but they want to keep everything, because of the children, quote-unquote, they want to make sure everything is fine, everything is cool.
Yeah.
I know Hot Rod probably got a completely different idea as to why everything is the way it is right now, and I'm really anxious to hear what you think.
Take it away. Take it away, Hot Rod. The floor is
you
yours.
Guys, I hope you know you guys got a few false facts in there, but
yeah.
I'll get to that after.
No,
I just wanted to tell y'all, y'all got some fake news parts in there, just so you know.
All right.
The fake news parts at a certain point where, and
no,
this is recorded,
ahead.
Where they, you know, started straying away from each other, they decided to go into an open relationship. So he obviously, I'm sure, already knew that she was messing with his best friends, whatever.
People don't realize they've been separated for quite some time.
Oh, they've been? Yeah.
They were separated for about a year or two, I think.
Yeah, so of course he needs to move on. But
it's like I could do
overall.
Whatever I want, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
No problem.
Come on.
They've been together for like 20 something years. But
25 years they were together. As a matter of fact, he hired when he created Amazon, his first person that he hired was his wife. So she was his first employee in the company.
Okay. I have no problem with that part. But here's my question overall. Do you make a prenup or postnup? Let's say you get married, become rich after. And do you believe a prenup will tarnish the relationship between you and your loved one? Now, I normally start with Tisha, unless you want to go first or you want me to pass it to Sean first. You decide.
I'll go ahead. I'll tell you what I need to tell you.
Yes, go ahead.
You finished with the question?
Yes.
Do you guys have your panties on tight enough so I can answer it for you?
K-Dog, shut up.
She's going into big holes. I got to hear this one.
K-Dog, shut up.
I plead the fifth.
Shut up.
So first of all, when people get married, we're going to just say, you know, it's out of love, number one. You're not thinking about a prenup when you're broke. He was not filthy rich with these billions when he married her. He had an idea, I'm going to do this, that, and like what you're supposed to do as a wife, you support your man, right or wrong.
Correct,
you're not
correct.
Thinking about, oh, maybe I should get a prenup. Because I'm sure during their marriage they had time, since they're such great friends and so forth, that they could have said, you know what, let's put together some sort of another agreement. Can that happen, Sean? You get what I'm saying? Like another agreement similar to a prenup, a contract. You know what I mean? They had more than enough time over these 25 years to talk about that.
Exactly.
You could tell they married for love. It didn't go the way it should have. And so forth. And that's where people's fantasy, oh, we're going to be married till the day that we die. People have to stop with that logic, because you may have one person who's 1,000% in it, where the next person isn't anymore, and they're growing apart. It can happen. Don't forget, when you marry, it's also a risk you're taking. It's not 1,000% you're going to be with the person forever. Do you think they had time to think about this while they're happily in love and seeing that, wow, he's going to be a billionaire someday?
Yes.
So
no, they didn't.
I don't think that prenups, you know, tarnish a relationship. If you're coming in with billions, then sure, get prenup. But this is something that happened over a period of time, and she worked just as hard as him for it and believed in him. So I believe she should get her half. I'm sorry to say it like that. And if it was vice versa, where it was her that had these billions and she was the owner of Amazon, I would feel the same way. He should get the half. Because you did what you were supposed to do as a mate. You supported that person. You should have known sometime that, hey, it could be a risk that we won't be together forever. Let's keep this separate contract on the side just in case that happened.
I'm sorry, Tisha. Like I told Sean last week, yes, I believe in the beginning, you never know what's going to happen. But once you have that money and start making those $1 billion, protect your money at all costs. Because we all know nothing lasts forever except for death and taxes. The smartest man in the world make a very common mistake. You should have
life doesn't even last forever. Let's be realistic. Yeah. Come on.
You should have done some type of arrangement. I'm like, listen, woman, you did help me with this company. You don't deserve half of it.
But you can tell, I think it was solid love with them. You can tell. He had more than enough time to think about it. She did too. I'm sorry.
But Sean brought it to me a good point about this so-called breakup. Even though he lost half of it, he still got $70 billion. Like, that money is not going away.
He's like, whatever. I'll recover from this, even if I give her half.
Yes.
So why are we mad? He's not my husband. I might want to marry him now.
I want to marry him, okay?
Here's what's going to be an interesting argument that I've actually heard people say on, like, talk shows, on radio shows, etc. Now, with the whenever the settlement goes through, when the divorce is finalized and everything, this will make her the richest woman in the United States, if not in the world, sitting on over $70 billion. The negativity that I heard about this, which is actually ridiculous, is that the only way that she can make that kind of money is if she hijacked it by you know, getting a divorce, and she only married him for the money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which that's like, first and foremost, where these people are getting this argument from is beyond me. Second of all, like you just stated, they didn't have anything going into the relationship. Well, they had their own little money, whatever. They weren't rich. And as I've said before, there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. You can be rich and you can trick rich up in 2 days. Wealth, you can't get rid of. And even with 75 or 70 some odd billion, to be, billion dollars on hand, I don't think Amazon is going to have any issues at all trying to survive.
No.
Because Amazon knows everything about every single person in the United States and in the world. They're continuing to buy up everything else that's out there. They already have the property that they're going to be developing in Long Island City in New York. They've got the one in Seattle. Who knows where else they're going to pluck the headquarters, et cetera, et cetera. So Amazon is safe for those that are out there. I think something's going to happen with Amazon. That isn't even the case or the argument here. To answer your point, Hot Rod, if you're going into a relationship and you both have nothing and you build an empire and you divorce, you both deserve half because you both equally went into it. As Tisha said, they both loved each other. They got 4 children. I'm sure they love their children and love their family and want to make sure that they're taken care of and the future of their children's children is taken care of. $75 billion apiece, you can take care of a lot of people's futures. Yes, but see, most people look at a prenup the same way people talk about death, and like when you talk about a death or you talk about life insurance or talk about when you have to bury somebody. Because nobody talks about that when people are alive as far as, oh, well, I'm 30 years old. I don't want to think about what my final expenses are going to be. I don't think about that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't talk about it when you need to. But then when something happens, nothing has been explained, nothing is there in paper, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same thing with a prenup, for the most part. It protects both people going in because marriage, for the most part, outside of love, is a contract.
Right.
You go into a relationship, and if it's like this person is marrying for this reason, this person is marrying for this reason, and a lot of people, for whatever the ideal is, they feel insulted by the fact that somebody would even throw up the prenup argument, thinking, "Oh, that's the only reason why you're marrying me is for money," and that's no, it's for protection just in case. Now, does every marriage need a prenup? I don't think every marriage needs a prenup. But it's definitely something that should be discussed, especially if you think you're going to be getting into some kind of business situation, or even if there's no business situation involved, in case something happens, it's there to make sure that you have at least a guideline as to what's yours, what's hers, what we can both divide up, where the kids get such and such and such. And then that goes into that so that you don't have to worry about it afterwards, and you don't have the messy divorce that you hear about where I took them to court, and we were in court for 6 years, and we hate each other's guts. You don't have to deal with all of that.
Okay, that sounds a little bit personal, but okay, Sean Black. So it's okay, dog.
Yeah.
Right.
Why happens, let's say you bring a woman a prenup and then you rush and everything, and she get very upset with you, why you bring a prenup, I love me and not the money? Will you have more questions about that?
I wouldn't have a question about that because we have every right to be, because I mean, come on now, if I just came up and said, "Oh, come on, and like, will you marry me?" But thanks for saying yes, but you know what? Here's something for you to sign. That man look like a stupid idiot. Like, what the hell? Like, what, you already predicted the end before the beginning?
But that's my major thing. But like Sean said, you have to protect your assets, you have to protect your money, because you never know. So if she questions you, do you question that relationship back again? Like, so you have a problem signing a prenup. Does that mean, are you really after my money? Or do you really love me?
Yeah, the love is there. If the love is there at the beginning, I mean, come on now. You don't know what's going to happen sometime during the future. So that's why I wouldn't even bring up a prenup. I'd be like, all right, listen, look, let's get married. That's it.
You guys, I have a question to ask you males on the panel because I don't understand a guy's brain anyway. But you're going to tell me that most time – I'm asking you guys. I don't even know if I'm going to get the right answer. But – come on, right before I forget my question. But whatever the case is, you put the ring on her finger, right? But before you put the ring on her finger, and not that same day, I'm saying, you're going to tell me nowhere down the line, as you guys were in this long-term relationship, short-term relationship, whatever relationship, have you ever asked, hey, do you believe in prenups? I know I've asked that question before.
I would ask that question before.
I think that's just a regular question. The same way you ask them, can I get the drawers? I'm thinking, hey, why you guys didn't ask that question?
I would ask that question because at the same time, we have to protect myself and our relationship. I believe a prenup is a protection overall. But nothing's guaranteed. This is just in case. A prenup is not really questioning the relationship. It does a protection. If you don't want to have a child, what do? You put on a condom. If it happens, it happens, right? That's what I see a prenup is. A protection and a condom. I'm sure Sean can
definitely.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Well, I can only go by my own experience. And when I proposed to my now ex-wife, I never brought up anything about a prenup.
Here we go again.
And was a prenup was never brought up then either. So I don't think from the standpoint of any situation I ever thought in my brain about the prenup, it never entered my mind. And I think a lot of guys, I think it also depends mostly on what you bring into the relationship. If you know, let's say you're an athlete or you have some kind of money and the situation is one person is making a whole lot of money and another person is making a smaller amount of money, maybe it enters in their mind that maybe I should think about that considering. But I don't think a lot of guys are actually thinking about putting in a prenup unless they are so financially inclined or financially educated, because a lot of people don't go into relationships thinking about finances down the road. I don't think that ever pops up in anyone's mind. I don't think anybody really
thought about it. I'm sorry, Sean. You are completely wrong. Any athletes, any rich people would tell you right now, prenup. So
well,
you're telling
as
me
I
now,
stated
Sean,
before, if you heard what I said, anybody that has money would think about it.
Yeah.
But Sean, let's talk about you.
Let's talk about you. If you have money right now and you fell in love with someone, you tell me right now, with your money, don't be at Sean, you will not think about prenup? Be honest.
I don't know. And I'm being very honest. I don't know. Because, as I said before, when you're in a relationship, a lot of times you're not thinking about that down the road. Maybe, like, when I got engaged, I was 29. So maybe it has something to do with immaturity, not thinking further down the road.
True.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
For you mature now, you're 40-something right now. You tell me you probably have no idea of this? Okay, so well, you have experience. So you're not thinking about doing a prenup right now?
I don't, you know, in all reality, I still don't know if I would be thinking about it.
Guys, I don't think it's about experience, because Jeff, he had more than enough experience. It's 29 years he was married to her. If he wanted that and that was his worries, he would have gotten it. He's not worried. Do you not see how much money he has? He still has money. She still has money. They're still going to be great friends. They have kids. And that's the way to damn well work it all out. Okay?
That is one of rare cases that it all worked out. That's one
and
rare
it's very
case.
Rare.
Well,
so you guys better get
when the money,
you guys
the money
get
that is involved, the money that is involved, they're both coming out much better than before they went in. So if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, then they probably are going to be very civil, and they probably still have a great friendship along with the fact that they have four children together. There doesn't seem to be any contention between the two of them. There doesn't seem to be any animus. There's no problems between us that we know of. Because as Hot Rod always says, we don't know the whole story. And we don't. But on the outside looking in, we don't. All we know about is right now, they seem to be on the same page when it comes to the monetary part of what's going on, because they both have a business to take care of. And she probably has her own venture that she's probably thinking about in other instances. And he has a business to continue to think about. So in that sense, that's all on the table for them.
Okay.
And like you said, we don't know the whole story, so you never know if they already spoke about all of this. You know, what if this happens? They already figured that out, and the media is the one that's getting stressed out as if they're getting a piece of the cake.
Yeah, they're bringing up all this stuff about the chick, about the
infidelity. But guys, like I said before, and last night, show Brother B Show, they got so much money, let them pay for the wall, and be happy. And they could call the wall the Amazon wall. Who cares?
They could pay for the wall.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would still have over $140 billion between the two of them.
Exactly.
That's insane.
And then Amazon Prime won't be delivering for 2 days. It'll take longer because the Mexicans have to make sure it's okay. Everything's okay.
Oh,
hey, listen.
Let's just stop.
Okay, but let me go to my last topic. I meant to talk about this topic a few weeks ago. This is one of my pet peeves topics. Keisha might be pissed off with me a little bit about this. But there was a quick story that happened in GameStop. That's a video game store a few weeks ago where a transgender entered the store to, I'm assuming, to purchase something, and the cashier called the transgender him for yelling and screaming, cursing out that he's a man. And, you know, there was a confrontation going on, and of course everything was caught on the video. You see the transgender dressed a little bit like a woman, but the voice and the muscular is definitely for sure that it's a man. And Keisha, is that against attacking the transgender or the gay or lesbian? You know me, it's never like that. But I do have a problem when you don't know someone, and when you see someone, you don't know what to say, ma'am or sir. And let's say you try to do the right thing, like, hello, ma'am, even though you know it's a sir, they get offended and get upset. What do you say about people like that overall? That they get offended or upset when you call them by the wrong gender?
You're asking me that?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know the question was
me. No.
I thought you just waited for somebody to answer.
If a man come to the store and you say, hello, man or sir. No, I'm not sir. I'm a man, but you get very upset, uptight. Like, how do you expect me to know what to call you? Especially with this gender identity crisis going on these days. We don't know what the man is a man or a woman is a woman now these days.
I've had that happen with a friend that I know, well, one of my sister's friends, where I thought it was a guy. I said, oh, wow, he's cute. She said, it's not a guy. You do know that. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, he's transgender. He's going through his process. I was like, oh, wow. So I don't know what to say about this. I'm sure these people that are of transgenders, they know that these things are going to happen from time to time. So
I agree. But you see the way this man reacted, like he threw stuff to the floor, like all hell had broken loose because he was called a sir instead of a woman.
Yeah, because he's still
man.
Emotionally attached to his transition.
And he threatened to get the guy fired, and he trashed the store on his way out of the store, et cetera.
He's still emotionally attached to what's going on, so he's not mentally ready with his change, that these are the things that's going to happen. I know transgenders that will tell you it happens, and I'm okay. They brush it off, keep it moving. There's people that's gay that happens to. Okay, they know how to handle it. He's not at that level yet.
And here's the other thing that you look at. If you look at the fact that a lot of transgender people that are out and about during their normal day, just trying to be themselves, and you have other people that either are not used to interacting with somebody that is transgender, don't know terminology, don't know how to address them. And she probably was fed up because it might have happened more than once. You know, it can happen. Bad day, somebody calling you out of what you identify in your gender, and hearing that over and over might have just snapped. It's possible that it happened. That doesn't make the person behind the counter a bad person or somebody that's evil or being racist or insensitive. But I'm pretty sure also that when this person was at the counter, they weren't necessarily looking at her. They had this head down, looking at the counter, trying to ring up the purchase, and might have heard the voice and just associated the voice with a male voice. That can happen. And I think the overreaction, what a lot of people looked at, was like, okay, I understand the premise behind this, but maybe she just jumped the gun and just went overly sensitive and just snapped.
Kato, anything you'd like to add on?
Listen, what's going on in the world, whatever somebody is, people are who they are. Now, whether it's, you know, whether it's a transgender or whatnot, you still have no choice but to respect that person. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes, yes, mistakes can happen. Like, wow, is that a guy? Are you a guy? And, you know, you have to expect it. It has to be expected, one way or another.
And last story I told Sean this morning. It happened in Brooklyn, New York. There was a protest going on yesterday in front of a meat marketplace or something like that, where an employee had called a woman or a gentleman, a black person, a monkey. Of course, the people got upset. There was a protest outside. But the owners of the store fired the person that called the couple a monkey and went out to apologize, tried to reach out and apologize to the people that were called monkey too. But like I told Sean Black this morning, the problem I have with the story is, number one, is calling someone a monkey a racist? Number two, we don't know the whole story of what happened. Well, like, what caused this person to call the couple or the couple a monkey? And number three, if action was taken of being released of the person, why is people being upset at throwing a protest outside the store wanted to shut down. Sean Black?
I don't know. It's when you listen to the whole story behind it, and then you explain all of this stuff, and it's like, well, okay. If you're going to get upset over being over somebody being called monkey, we know the context that is implied behind it, depending on who is saying it and who is being said to, not just the actual word itself. So now we have to figure out if there was intent involved. Now, the person we just stated was fired already for doing this. So if that's the case, where is the protest coming from now? If the person that initially said this is already gone from the business, well, what would be the point in the extra protesting? Some people, in some instances, seem to always want an extra pound of flesh, no matter what happens. Now, if the business is out there saying, okay, somebody called somebody a racist term or took something that was deemed as racist, we've alleviated that situation by removing them from the business, and we apologize for what happened. Why is the extra protest needed? Was it not swift enough for you? Was the firing not fast enough? Was it not public enough for you? Well, what was the issue? And we have to figure out as a society, what are we actually looking for extra on top of what we've already seen? And if they've already alleviated the situation, what extra are you trying to get from this by bringing together more protest and more attention to something that was already taken care of? Now, if this, let's say, happened and it took a week or 2 weeks before something happened, then I could understand the extra protesting. Unless this was a pattern at the business where this happened more than once and the people are sick and tired of it, maybe. But we don't know that because there might be more to the story that we're not told. But based on what we've seen and what you just told us, that should be enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Don?
You know, one thing I got to give to the stores, that did they handle the situation? Yes, they did. They took a handle of it. The employee was fired. Was the employee fired right away? He was. And so they took care of it. However, what they need to do is this, is that let's sit down, let's negotiate with the leaders, with the community leaders, and let's assure that this will not happen again. Move on.
Well, I have a question over here that was sent to me, and I will start with Tisha first. My question is I'm sorry, hello, Rob. Can you love the people in the LGBTQ community and not support their beliefs? Love people and not their lifestyle. So basically, you love gay and transgender people and not love their and do not like their lifestyle.
Why can't you? Their lifestyle is what they do behind closed doors. They're not having sex with their mate in front of me. I care less about what they do. That's their business. Why can't they walk around on this earth like any other human being? Are they hurting someone? What is it that people have a problem with? Talk to me about the priests and the bishops and stuff like that that are molesting kids. Talk about R. Kelly that's freaking out here molesting kids. I've had enough of it. Who cares what they do? They're behind closed doors. They're not doing anything illegal. They're not hopefully not pedophiles and so forth. Like, who cares? That's their choice, their sexual choice behind the doors. Who cares?
Well, apparently this person cares because I guess, in my opinion, he probably has friends or family who are gays or gays or transgender or whatever. But I think with his religious beliefs, you know, most religious people don't believe in gay and lesbian, even though, like you just said, the priests that talk to little boys every day.
Yeah, and they're the first ones with so much hypocrisy behind it because they're protected by the religion and so forth. Give me a break, and they're doing a lot of destruction just as well. So just stop. Just stop with it.
Now tell us how you really feel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what? You said it all.
Yeah, go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, just the other day, a pastor got arrested. A pastor got caught having sex with a 12-year-old.
Oh yeah, in Brooklyn, I read about that.
Yep, right in Brooklyn.
That's another thing too.
Yeah.
You want to be talking about that? Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, talk about the R. Kelly situation. I sent Tisha and Kato, Sean, about R. Kelly situation that you never heard of. Sean, do you still have that list of names?
Yeah, I still have
of celebrities?
I actually tried
it out. It's a good list.
Yeah,
I hope you guys have Steven
list.
Tyler up on there, too, with the nonsense.
And the funny thing about it is some of these were actually talked about, like Paul Walker, who was 33 at the time, and dated a 16-year-old. So that was, I remember that being in the news years ago, before way before he passed. Joel Madden and Hilary Duff, he was 26, she was 16. We already know about Tiger, who was 22, and Kylie Jenner was 16. Elvis Presley, if I'm not mistaken, married Priscilla Presley. He was 25, and she was 14.
Yeah,
and
we
know about Jerry Lee Lewis, who married his
23.
Cousin, I believe.
He was 23, and she was 13 years old.
Yeah, so there are plenty of examples of not just regular people, but celebrities engaging in what would be looked at today as questionable. See, remember, in certain parts of the country way back when, if you were of a certain age, you had to be 15 or 16 or whatever, to be with parental consent to marry somebody. In Alaska, you had to be, you could get married at the age of 13. Back when, I don't know if the laws have changed, but a lot of that is
so sick.
I'm glad you brought that up. Sorry for interrupting, but in India, you know, they marry 13-year-olds. They marry girls at 13, and in an arranged marriage. You know, they married them, and then regardless of how old the husband is.
I'm just finding it disgusting, and I'm ready to throw up about this.
I mean,
the list goes
on and on.
It does.
But we failed to mention that the names that we just mentioned are white men as well. I mean, even though everybody's talking about Kelly because he's black, but I just want to bring up the name.
Outside of Tiger and Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
But
everybody else has been white men. But you don't hear too much media noise about that. I mean,
you know, for
a minute, but it goes away. Well, compared to R. Kelly, with a whole, six-part movie about him? Go figure. Why they don't do a six-part movie about Elvis Presley? They ain't going to do that.
Why would they? He's such a hero.
I'll give you another reason why that is the case is because Elvis Presley's not alive anymore. Had he still been alive, maybe in this era...
Nope.
They probably might have said something. Because if they
they wouldn't. Even if he was alive.
I don't see it. Sorry,
Sean.
Nope. Come on, Jay.
You would not
want to
tarnish
his image. Jay Seinfeld is alive. He's still alive. You don't hear nothing about him right now.
About who?
And he's a comedian.
Jerry Seinfeld. Yep.
He's on the list too.
Steven Tyler is on that list. I actually like him from Aerosmith. I didn't know that. It kind of turned me off, but okay.
I don't know.
That would be a good story, the Steven Tyler story, too.
Talk about R. Kelly. Look at that. I mean, I'm not defending R. Kelly. I mean, you're going to throw one person underneath the bus?
But here's another thing about the R. Kelly thing. R. Kelly is also blatantly rubbing his face rubbing people's faces in the fact that he's still free. So that's one of the reasons. His arrogance is what's gotten him back in the news. Because if you remember, it was early last year that we heard about this quote-unquote sex cult and all the other stuff. He had skated free after the trial. And people had wondered, with all of the stuff that's been going on, how is R. Kelly still walking the face of the earth free?
Because a lot of these cases are over already. He will still be free under some of these cases. So give me a break.
But at the same time, Sean Black, last week when we talked about R. Kelly, the next night, his concert got sold out.
Yeah. But you know what happened recently? You know what's happened since, though? He's lost a bunch of concert dates. His record label has stopped putting money into new music.
No, Sean, you're wrong.
Listen,
he's not going away. R. Kelly, he's still going to make his money.
Yeah, he's still going to make his money. And it's really sad. Am I the only one that his song, Woman Fed Up, is put to a new, all-new meaning to me. I don't know. I'm sorry.
I've never cared for any of R. Kelly's songs, and after listening,
well, you don't go to the club.
Oh, Sean Black, just stop it.
No.
I'm sure you was trying to get your Mac on back in the day.
You can ask Hot Rod.
I'm going to ask Hot Rod. Hot Rod.
First of all, I have never cared for any of R. Kelly's music, and I have always hated it. I Believe I Can Fly as tall. It makes me sick to my stomach. I hated the song. Because it was attached to Space Jam, and being a Knicks fan, that was attached to Michael Jordan. And if you're a Knicks fan, you had an affinity to hate Michael Jordan.
Good night. Have a good night, everybody.
I believe I could fly.
Oh God.
Oh Jesus.
Just the one time.
Time to throw.
All right, y'all.
John, go to the bathroom, right? Go to the bathroom.
Oh man.
Goodbye.
The pleasure is all yours.
Pleasure is all yours.
Good night.